So if I can get through this, that'll be cool. I am sure I will get a little emotional. So I know why I'm here. It's because of him. At some point, he said, "Hey, I have a message for you. This message is for me." And then he said, "Hey, put it down on paper. And if Eric's ever gone, something comes up, he has an emergency, we'll have a message that we can just put in at the last minute." So through him, that's why this message came together. This message really excited me, and that's why I'm fired up on it. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with me this morning. Help me get through this and guide me that these words that I share are not mine, but yours. Amen. So as I say, God steered me to put this message together, and the message was for me. We all have earthly fathers, or most of us have earthly fathers. Some don't. Some dads are good. Some dads are bad. Some are okay. I put my father in the okay category. Well, when I grew up, I had a mom and a dad, but maybe not the kind of father that you get to read about. He was great. He did this. He taught me how to play ball or fish or encouraged me. Now, my dad didn't do any of that, but he didn't hate me. He didn't abuse me. He did love me, but he didn't have a dad. His dad died when he was very young. So he didn't have that role model to show him how to be a dad. So he couldn't show me how to be a dad. So, that's okay. That's just the way it was. And again, my dad, he wasn't abusive. He loved me. I loved him. So when I started raising my kids, I kind of was doing the same thing, or not doing what a father should do. I wasn't teaching them things. But my dad was good at correcting me if I did something wrong. And that's where I excelled with my kids. I was good at correcting them. And so one day, Carrie and I were in the car. It was just us. We were driving somewhere. And she looked over at me and she said, "Tom, the kids, the kids think you're a jerk." And I looked at her right away and I said, "Thank you. Thank you for telling me that." And how hard was it for her to have that conversation? But obviously our Father in heaven told her, "I have him ready to hear that. Tell him." And and you can check with the kids, they're both here afterwards, that was kind of life-changing for me. And I think the reason I got to, not I think, I know, the reason I got to that point was from joining the Saturday Night Bible Study group and starting to learn about our Heavenly Father. And then what else is cool is he has this really cool thing that he gives us, the how-to book on how to be a father. And my do-it-yourself books at home, where they have different chapters. There's plumbing, there's heating, there's framing. His do-it-yourself book has all sorts of different chapters. And like here on earth, where there might be a neighbor or an uncle or someone that also helps to teach us how to be a man, how to be a father, he used people too. He used Jesus. He used Paul. He told stories throughout the Bible, just like us old guys sitting around telling stories. "Hey, when I was growing up, this is what happened." So in studying our Heavenly Father's how-to book, I've learned I have the ultimate perfect father. We all do. So I'm just going to bring up a couple of these lessons that he teaches us in this book. Otherwise, we'll be here a really long time. I think number one, most important, patience. I think this is important not that our dads would have ever taught us this. From the Bible, he talks about slow to anger, And to me, that sure seems like patience to me. It's one thing being patient, waiting for Christmas to open presents or waiting for the weekend or vacation. But our Heavenly Father, waiting for someone to stop messing up and repeating the same mistake over and over, that's another. God had Moses leave the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, which is what the people wanted. Then he had to watch them keep complaining, falling away from him, and even making false idols again. How is that really different today? That's really no different than our lives today. We keep messing up. We keep going back to old ways, and he's patient. I know not only do I keep making mistakes, there are a few I just keep repeating, and yet he forgives me every day and gives me a do-over. And what a gift that is. I'm learning a new skill now since I retired. I want to know everything. I want to know it today. But I know it's going to take time. If I rush, I will fail and make mistakes. If I'm patient and learn, I'll have better results. From the Bible, some quotes from the Bible in regards to patience. In Exodus, and I'm not going to do chapter and verse, I'll just tell you what book they're in. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Proverbs, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Ecclesiastes, the end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Colossians, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And in 2 Timothy, preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So this brings me to the next topic, or the next chapter, forgiveness. Something else that doesn't come easy to me. So in the parable, the unmerciful servant in Matthew, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brothers and sisters who sin against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times. There is no question what we are supposed to do, and yet sometimes I still rather be angry and mad and keep those feelings all bottled up inside than to forgive. But our Father, what does he do? He forgives us every day, multiple times a day. For me, that's a Father. How much better do we truly feel when we forgive others? All right, Chuck, hold your comments here. The next subject, be silent or listen. All right. We know I don't have that down pat. It's a work in progress. I know I have the speaking part down. I know my mom bought a cottage, and she bought it as a place where the family could get together. We had a lot of work to do on the cottage. And my brother and I did a lot of that work. And I was always like, you know, my way is the only way. My way is the right way. And this is the way we're going to do it. And over the course of years of working on that cottage, my brother somehow in a great way would bring up, you know, Tom, what do you think? What if we do it this way? And I started listening to him. And boy, he had some good ideas that made things easier. So I have learned listening can be a great thing. And again, a couple of verses from the Bible, from James. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I have that all backwards. Working on it, but in a book I read, the 80-20 principle, I think we're supposed to listen 80% of the time and speak 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. If one gives an answer before he hears, It is his folly and shame. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from words of knowledge. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. And to me, I kind of look at that as, listen to me, kid. I've been there. I've gone through things. I might have some knowledge that you should hear. Every fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Listening was the, when I was putting this message together and then searching for Bible passages to go with it, listening was the easiest one to search. The most items came up. And there must be a reason for that. It must be, so maybe I should have started with that one. Next one, getting into more of being a father to others, teach them. I'm sorry to point you out, Reese, but poor Reese one day, you know, he was the oldest, so he was the first most capable, so I'd pick on him to help me with the project. But I never taught him what we were going to do. And he's like, Dad, you know, this is like a carry moment in the car. He goes, Dad, you know, I really don't like doing projects with you. All you do is yell at me. Again, I was thankful that he said that. And I think I changed that overnight. But I was ready to hear it. And I'm like, of course. I didn't teach him anything. I just expected him to know. So in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Take to heart these words that I give you today. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home or away, when you lie down or get up. After teaching, discipline, and correcting is a form of teaching your child. So that's why I kind of put this one right afterwards. Again, in Proverbs, do not hesitate to discipline a child. If you spank him, he will not die. Spank him yourself, and you will save his soul from hell. A child's heart has a tendency to do wrong, but the rod of discipline removes it far away from him. The rod and rebuke bestows wisdom, but an undisciplined child brings shame to his mother. Discipline your child, and he will give you rest. He will bring you happiness. Ephesians. Fathers, I love this one. Fathers, do not provoke your child to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God corrects us when we, you know, and we have consequences when we screw up and make a mistake. But those consequences are lessons to us to get us to go down the right trail, and they're important lessons. This is another thing that, you know, my dad didn't do for me, and I don't think it was ever done for him. But I can see how good it is now. But encourage. Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build up another up just as you are doing. Hebrews, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love the good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And again, that one reads to me, when we're encouraging someone, go for it. Don't worry. If you fall, if you stumble, it doesn't make a difference. but try. Go after your dream. Try something new. Ephesians, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So these are just a few of the many lessons that our Father teaches us through the Bible, his how-to book. There are so many other. And again, this message to me, you know, what I realized about our Heavenly Father, all of our Heavenly Father, is he was with us before we were born. He's with us all day, every day on our earthly journey here. And he's going to be with us forever when we move on to our heavenly journey. I'm like, you know, us earthly fathers, we can't do that. And he's always there to listen. Again, not my strong suit. He actually encourages us to talk to him often. And when we are quiet and listen to him, we hear his advice. From John 1, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. I have a perfect father. We all do. Father, I love you. Amen.